You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 416 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rolvin, coming to you live on this fine Tuesday evening, live from Las Vegas. If you've not been listening to the show over the last week or so, I have been on the scene here in the desert covering the Atlanta Hawks, and for the first time in the entirety of Summer League, the Hawks got a win on Tuesday, early afternoon, I guess local time and evening in Atlanta, by a final score of, I was back and forth at the end of this thing, but a final score of 101-93. The Hawks actually started with a brutal first quarter, and we'll talk more about the actual game that transpired, but after a 33-18 first quarter in favor of the Bulls, it was all Hawks the rest of the way, and a lot of fun, actually, especially when compared to other Summer League games at this juncture. But we'll come back to the game. First things first on the agenda today is the fact that I wanted to touch on a couple of non-transactions, and really not rumors, but some people, you know, a lot of questions that I've been getting asked about restricted free agents, especially guys like Marcus Smart, Jabari Parker, and Clint Capella are still on the market, and because the Hawks have been so incredibly quiet when it comes to free agency so far, I get asked quite a bit about why they wouldn't necessarily be willing to pursue those guys. I've talked about this same concept before on the podcast, just the fact that the Hawks want to keep their cap sheet open and potentially use that money to take on bad contracts in exchange for assets moving forward. But aside from that, just the pure value propositions of those guys is not great for me. You know, there's been some reporting that Marcus Smart and the Celtics could be pretty far away at this juncture, but still, basically my thesis at this point is that any offer that the Hawks were to make that I would be willing to sort of sign off on as an analyst would be a deal that the other team would probably match. So for instance, the Celtics are I guess reportedly somewhere in the $11-13 million range per season with Smart. I would probably offer him somewhere in that range if I was the Hawks, but if the Hawks did that, Boston would almost certainly match. Clint Capella, I think if the Hawks offered the max that they possibly could offer him, the 25% max, I think Houston would probably match that contract as well. I probably would be a little bit hesitant to actually do that even, but I would give him a lot of money. It's just a situation where Houston would almost certainly match, and with Jabari Parker, I'm probably a little bit lower than the consensus on Parker, and it almost makes more sense because of the fact that Milwaukee is hard capped, so there is a number where the Hawks could offer a deal that Milwaukee would have a whole lot of trouble trying to match. But for me, I'm a little bit lower on Parker. I do think if you like Jabari Parker, if you buy that, if you buy his health, all that fun stuff, then there's probably a deal to be made there. But at the same time, I'm probably a little bit more skeptical of the health and the fact that his defensive limitations really would hamper the Hawks a lot when considering the rest of the Hawks roster. I understand he has a lot of talent, has a lot of upside, but at the same time, I think there are better fits with what the Hawks are looking to do defensively because of the fact that they have all these offense-first players. Adding another one of those guys with some real defensive limitations with Parker would be a little bit aggressive, but I just want to at least address that a little bit on the podcast, just as sort of a refresher. I haven't talked about free agency in about a week now, but yeah, there's a lot going on. Nothing reporting in terms of the Hawks. In fact, Chris Fidmore of the AJC teased on Twitter early on Tuesday that he spoke with Travis Schlenk, and Travis Schlenk, I believe the money quote was the fact that he's basically treating free agency as a trade, essentially. So I'm trying to find that quote now, so my apologies on not having it up. But in short, I have it right here. And Travis Schlenk's quote to Chris Fidmore is, and I quote, "Our free agency will be the trade market," end quote. So that sort of drives home the point that we've been saying on this podcast for a very, very long time. It makes a lot of sense for the Hawks to take the very, very slow-paced approach. I'm sure at some point they will have to sign someone, whether that be for a minimum contract or something like that, between now and training camp, but no rush to do so at this juncture. Last thing before we get into the actual game is the fact that former Hawks wing Damian Lee, who was signed last year to a rest of season contract, and then famously Damian Lee and his agent declined the multi-year offer that the Hawks made them, similar to the ones that they were able to get for Jalen Morris and Tony's Cleveland. Lee wanted to hit free agency, and as a result of that, he actually agreed to a two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors on Tuesday. Just a little bit of housekeeping there. He was never going to be coming back to the Hawks, I wouldn't imagine, given the fact that he's not playing summer league, all that fun stuff, but looks like he has found a soft landing spot in Golden State. And honestly, as much as all the talent in Oakland is very, very evident. I think actually Damian Lee has a chance to play a little bit there, especially if they were to lose Pat McCall. We saw last year that the Warriors, for all of their strengths, and there are many of them, don't have a ton of depth on the wing. So I think he, along with Quinn Cook, a couple of former Hawks there, would have a chance to potentially sort of latch on and actually do some stuff there. So congrats to Damian Lee on that agreement. And he's a pretty good guy for a two-way contract for Golden State. So we'll keep an eye on him moving forward. All right, with that said, please subscribe to the podcast. I really appreciate everybody that's already done that. I always say that, but I really, really do appreciate everybody that's already sort of gone on, signed up to subscribe and download and, you know, leave five-star feedback and all that fun stuff. So please please accept my thanks for that. Please tell your friends as well. We'll have tons of Summer League content as well as some off-season stuff as we get out of Summer League and as I return home to Atlanta. But for now, we are fully in Las Vegas mode. And after this break, we'll talk more about what transpired on Tuesday evening. Okay, we can talk about the game here. A couple of just big picture themes. This is obviously Trae Young's best shooting game of Summer League. That's going to be all the headlines. He was 7 of 13 from 3. He really, really filled it up. In fact, the first 6 minutes of this game, he had 3 threes. He was 3 of 3 from the floor, had 11 points. And one of those was a pretty aggressive, wild step back shot that he's definitely capable of making, but one that he knocked down. And, you know, for the game, not terribly efficient. Actually missed all 6 of his 2-point attempts, which is probably not the greatest sign in the world for Trae, but still a lot of fun. He kind of was due for one of these making shots games. You know, Chris Gent, who is the head coach for the Summer League team in Las Vegas and assistant coach on the normal staff, sort of joked that it was an easier gym to shoot in. The Hawks played at Cox Pavilion, the much, much smaller, almost high school-sized gym, and it probably is a little bit better on sight lines, which might have helped Trae. In fact, the Hawks as a team shot 14 of 35 from three, so there might be something to that to some degree. But yeah, it's one of the situations where Trae Young had a nice game shooting the ball. I thought he played pretty well in terms of the all-court game. He had 5 assists, did have 4 turnovers, but was plus 17 in 33 minutes. I thought he was pretty much in control. He and Ryan Archidiacono out of Villanova, who was on the Bulls Summer League roster, had a little bit of a scuffle mid-game. There was some jawing going on for most of the night. But in general, I thought Young was pretty darn good here, despite the 2-point shooting woes. And obviously, we'll talk more about him as we always do. But a situation where I thought he 21 points in the first 21 minutes of play, did cool off down the end, but hit a fun dagger late in the fourth quarter. And it's a pretty successful game for Trae. I think if you were a Trae Young fan, this is one that you were waiting on, to be sure. If you were a Trae Young skeptic, this is probably one where you'll probably want to wait. Every single narrative in Summer League is always kind of played into by what transpires, depending on which side you already were on. So that's something to file away for the future. Elsewhere in this spot, Jalen Adams had by far the best game he's had in a Hawks uniform. 23 points off the bench on 8 of 12 shooting, 5 of 7 from 3. Had 4 fouls, but did have 4 rebounds and 2 assists. I talked to Jalen after the game. He basically expressed that everybody knows he can shoot, and that's true. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, good friend of the program, who joined us before, has been calling him a walking bucket. There's no way around it. Jalen Adams can absolutely score. He's a good distributor as well. He showed that at the college level, but and we saw that on full display here. Defensively, there are some limitations there. I actually talked to him about that. He sort of acknowledged it, said that's the area that he's looking to work on most in Summer League and throughout the summer. But Adams flashes offensive capability. So if you were a skeptic of Adams coming into this game, this would probably remind you of why the Hawks wanted to invest a two-way contract in him. He's a very, very talented offensive player. And we'll see if he can sort of get up to par on the other end of the floor here. Elsewhere, Jalen Morris had a very nice game here, 17.6 rebounds for Jalen, 6 of 11 from the floor, was 1 of 5 from 3. His jump shot is the big concern, to be sure, but Chris Chant referred to him as a bulldog defensively. He likes to have that number one assignment on the wing. I thought Morris played very, very well here, was sort of filling in the gaps quite a bit. The jumper is something that I'm definitely not sold on, but I like his game aside from that quite a bit. Amari Spellman struggled in my mind, 10 points, 10 rebounds for Amari. 4 assists, had a couple of nice moments, to be sure. He definitely, where to be standpoint, is kind of all over the place defensively, especially, but even offensively, there's been some inconsistency there, and a lot of the talk's been about him adjusting to scheme stuff and sort of big picture stuff like that. So nothing to necessarily overly worry about. If you were skeptical of Spellman, as I was, it's easy to probably say, look, I told you so. I wouldn't go that far, even as someone who did love that pick when it happened. I do think he has a lot of skill, and there was definitely some moments in the second half where it was much better. The first half, I was definitely unsure of Mark Spellman's performance. He was not very good. He's not very good before halftime, but it got better in the second half, which is what you want to see from a guy who's struggling, especially a first-round pick. And I thought there were definitely some positive moments here. Antonius Cleveland 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. In the first half, he had a bunch of highlights, a couple of dunks, a nice steal, some defensive capability. He's a great athlete, a guy who's very long, played some power forward again here in this game, which the Hawks want to see from him. And I think Cleveland is a guy I've liked for a long time, even when it's the Hawks were signing him, even when he was injured. So I think they're sort of seeing that bear some fruit here. I think there is still a project nature when it comes to Clintoni Cleveland, because he is pretty raw, but a guy who I think flashes some considerable capability, and a player who I would be, at this point in time, I would think the Hawks would probably want to hang on to him for as long as possible. There are some non-guaranteed stuff in his contract, but he looks the part of a guy who the Hawks will want during this rebuild in terms of this season entering the year. So we'll keep an eye on Cleveland, but I think he's going to be around if I had to guess, because he is playing very well and flashing all the potential that he has in summer league. Alpha Kaba had his best game as well, the number 60 overall pick in the 2017 draft, 10 points, 5 rebounds. Kaba expressed that he's sort of, after the game, was talking about how he wanted to get stronger in the last year. He's definitely been able to do that. A lot of buzz about his body and the way that he looks. I thought he definitely looked like an NBA caliber player today. There's some skill development that has to go on with Kaba, especially offensively. There isn't too much there, but physically, he looks the part of an NBA center, and I think defensively, he kind of knows where to be for the most part. There's some stuff where he has some recognition issues, but that's kind of what you would see in summer from a young guy. I do think he's a pretty far away as an overall package, and as a result, he will not be coming over this year, I don't think. But one of those things where he's not a non-prospect. I don't think that I am super high on Alpha Kaba, but at the same time, there is some skill that you can definitely see there in terms of just frame and what you want to bring to the table defensively. And the Hawks clearly like him. That was a Travis Schlenk draft pick, so they have some investment there. I thought it was odd earlier in the week that he got a DNP CD, did not appear at all in a summer league game. That's kind of worrisome, and it's one of those things where, just something to point out there, but I thought Kaba played well in 18 minutes. The Hawks only played 8 guys again here, although I guess they played 9. Junior Robinson played in the final minute, had a very, very intriguing athletic play, but in general, this is a game the Hawks were clearly trying to win, playing their best 8 guys. Tyler Dorsey remains out. After the game, Chris Gent referred to him as about 80% in shoot around this morning, and as a result of that, they held him out of this game. He is not ruled out at this point, at least publicly, from the rest of summer league. I think we might see him in the tournament, and as we talk about this, I actually don't know the next game that the Hawks will have. I'm recording this podcast before the tournament schedule is posted, so please check out PeachtreeHoops.com. We will have a post up there when the schedule is released late on Tuesday evening. Basically, in short, all of the games have to finish in Las Vegas before they can actually put the schedule together, because it's based on where teams finish in the pecking order from 1 to 30. So, yeah, something to keep in mind there. But either Wednesday or Thursday, the Hawks will be back in action again. And when they are, I think Tyler Dorsey is probably going to play, but that's definitely a guess based on the intel there. So he's not been ruled out to this point in time, but that left the Hawks really shorthanded. And, of course, both Jock Landale and Robert Johnson, who were the non-roster guys that played in this game. Landale was struggling, to be sure, in a lot of ways, but Johnson definitely took a step back. But the guys who you want to, I don't want to say matter, but the guys who are on the roster, the 6 guys that you wanted to see in this game, only Spellman, I thought, actually played average or below. Everybody else had a really, really nice game here, and that sort of allowed the Hawks to put together a victory. So not too much to take away from that, as far as the result goes, because in summer league, the results don't necessarily matter, and the tournament would have included the Hawks either way. But something to keep in mind there, and the Hawks will be in action again either on Wednesday or Thursday. They are guaranteed 2 more games. Even if they were to lose the next one, they'll go into the loser's bracket, the consolation bracket, as they say, and play 1 more game. So they're guaranteed at least 5 games in Las Vegas in addition to the 3 in Utah. So we are definitely more than halfway home now at this point, unless the Hawks go on a crazy run through the tournament to make the finals. But I don't necessarily anticipate that happening. So probably 2 more games, at least 2 more, maybe as many as 3 or 4. But we'll keep that in mind, and I'll be here for the duration. So we'll stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast again if you have not done already. That'll do it for the podcast today. If something else breaks, I promise I will break in. And if not, we will recap the first tournament game whenever it transpires. So in the meantime, keep it locked to PeachtreeHoops.com, as well as my Twitter account @BTRoland or the show's Twitter account @LockedOnHawks, and we'll see you guys after the next one.